Okay, I'll go ahead and call us to order. Regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on December 9th. If the audience would join the board in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I like the hey-hey at the end, Wayne.
You bet. Public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. I don't see anybody move towards the mic. Consideration of minutes from December 2nd.
Move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any additions or corrections? Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. Those have been approved. Consideration of personnel actions.
Move approval as submitted.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Anything further? Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. Those have been approved. Consent agenda. Please add utility permit 1539.
1539. Move approval with noted changes.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Is there anything further? Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. Those have been approved. No public hearing items. Additional items. Discussion and consideration of Resolution 1542, creation and operation of the Workforce Investment Region 11 Board, and authorization signature of 28E agreement articles of agreement for Region 11.
Yep.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay. Great. Good morning.
Good morning.
Guess I'll go ahead and start. My name's Angie Arthur. I'm Executive Director for the Central Iowa Workforce Investment Board. And we are a board created by federal legislation, the Workforce Investment Act, to have oversight over the region's workforce development system. And so that's Polk County, the surrounding counties, Story obviously being one of those counties. And with that oversight,
bring a little closer.
Pull closer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I feel like I'm eating the mic there a little bit. All right. Board itself has oversight of the workforce development system, which includes training for adults, dislocated workers, and youth. And it's federal funds that are appropriated through the state of Iowa, the Iowa Workforce Development Department. And with that process, we have a board as created by the legislation. And it's made up of 27 individuals representing the different counties. In fact, Pat Brown from Ames and Craig Boylan from Ames also sit on our board. Craig represents for the education, K through 12, and then Pat is a business representative. And with that oversight, we want to make sure that the appropriate programs are going on and things along that line. And as I shared about adult dislocated workers and youth. And with that, one of the things created in the federal legislation is that we have a chief elected official. And at this point, our chief elected official is the governor. And that came about after CTEC, I'm sure you've heard of that organization, was the previous board that was dissolved in about 2007. The state took over that, and then the Department of Labor came back and said, we really need this to be regionally run. And it was created, the current board and its status, the Central Iowa Workforce Investment Board, was reinstituted in 2010, and the governor was the chief elected official. However, again, affirmed through a conversation with the Department of Labor, they really want us to move to a local chief elected official board. And it's something that we would like to set up in the fact to have representation from each county so that we'd have one vote from each county and representation. As designed by federal regs, but also state regulations as well, it's usually with the Board of Supervisors that are representative. It's possible to do it with a mayor. However, we've chosen to go the route with the touching base with the Board of Supervisors because we do want to have that general representation of all the counties to give input and have oversight as well over the board to make sure that we have a good balanced process to move forward. So what we've presented to all the counties within our region is the 28E agreement that you've received to ask you to be part of that chief elected board. It's something we'd like to move forward with, and the board would meet on a quarterly basis, have representatives from the different counties. We have the responsibilities as outlined in the document itself. Those are pretty straightforward. They come from the Workforce Investment Act handbook and other federal regulations as well as the Federal Registry. So again, we're presenting that to you folks and wanted to see if you had any questions about the opportunity. I know you've presented it and have had some conversations with your county attorney's office and those thoughts there. Do want to share a few things that we've done because I think there's a concern about liability and risk. And so some of the things that we've done as an organization and just structurally to make sure that we have things in place is we have two financial oversight reviews a year of the service providers. Those are conducted by Iowa Workforce Development, and they're very detailed and go through files and receipts and things along that line. So to make sure that we have appropriateness in that. We also have one program a year of oversight, program review oversight, and that's done on an annual basis and, again, pulls in Iowa Workforce Development, auditors, their auditing staff to go through the processes that we have, the structures, things along that line. We have an active finance committee. DMAC is our fiscal agent. So that's, I think, a very strong aspect for us is in working with that organization. Monthly review of documents by the Finance Committee. I think we have much more transparency, all public meetings along how we handle things as well. Insurance coverage for directors and officers, general liability, and those are just some of the few things that we have in place. So I wanted to bring this opportunity forward to you folks, see if you had any further questions about our organization and what we can provide for you.
Angie, thank you so much. I'll just take a step back as we kick off this conversation and remind the two of you that about, Angie, I think it's been about 18 months ago now that I came down for a meeting. Is that about right?
You could have come down beforehand. I've been involved in it, so it's probably about 9 months ago.
Yeah, it feels like it was even before that came down and had a meeting with all the counties involved as they talk about getting this program back into the hands of local government rather than having the governor as the chief elected official overseeing things. I think there are lots and lots of really good ideas and rationale for Story County being part of this. The first thing I did when I got the Articles of Agreement, the 20AD, is ask Jessica to look into it. I know that Angie and Jessica have been communicating back and forth. I know that Jessica has a couple concerns with this document, and then at the end of the day, the three of us are just going to have to determine what's in the best interest of Story County and move on. So with that and with that little sense of history, I'd ask Jessica, would you just point out for us, Jessica, the concerns you have in here so that we can address those?
Yes, absolutely. And I wanted to thank Angie for being here today as well and for the communications that she and I have had throughout this process. When I reviewed the Articles of Agreement, number 6, sub B, is of concern to me because in it, the county agrees to accept liability for any misuse of WIA funds expended under the contract. So basically, we are contractually agreeing to jointly cover expenses for misuse of funds. And this becomes a potential concern for us with the history of the organization. So I just wanted to make sure the board was aware of
previous
that.
Previous organization, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And my conversations with Ms. Arthur have entailed me requesting that be stricken, and they are unwilling to strike that from the agreement in its final form. Also, number 8 under the agreement, liability. It's a really broad liability clause wherein the county would agree to jointly and separately accept responsibility and liability for the operation of the Workforce Investment Act programs to the extent of the responsibilities assigned and agreed upon in any agreement between the CEO board and local subrecipients. So depending on how many agreements and subrecipients there are, that could be fairly expansive. And I just see that as broad language regarding liability, and I had concerns about that. And again, Ms. Arthur and I discussed that, and they are unwilling to strike that section. And then the final discussion that I have with Ms. Arthur is Section 12, sub B. where the county would be agreeing to get insurance coverage for many things, and I think insurance coverage is a great idea, but one includes crimes committed and specific crimes that are outlined in that section. And I just have a concern about the availability and existence of that type of coverage. A lot of insurance coverage is exempt, tortious acts and criminal acts, and so I just want to make sure that we wouldn't be contracting for coverage that may not be available. You know, if we agree to do it, then we're going to be contractually bound to do it. So those are my concerns. Thank you.
And let me just comment that as I was reading through it, and I think these are very legitimate and key issues that we need to factor in. To my knowledge, and all the other boards and commissions that I've served on over the years that have had the 2080 agreements, and where the Board of Supervisors have served as a governance board that is responsible for the oversight of operations and so forth, these were not part of the county's obligation or responsibility for that type of responsibility. A lot of that fell on the CEO, the CFO, or however you might want to take a look at that. And I do think that as an entity within this, these are very valid issues for us to take a look at. While we feel that in the past that the supervisors will exercise a great deal of fiduciary oversight, but they are not necessarily the ones who will make do the final paperwork or behind the scenes type of things, and so we may not always be in a position to have the type of accountability for everything that is transpired. And that's why I believe that it's not in our best interest to hold certain types of liability for wrongful acts that may not, you know, necessarily be of our control. And that, so, I mean, that's just a past experience type of situation, and I know we could go back and think about other couple incidents in the past where things like this do come into play. Now, I can understand it from the standpoint of the federal government and their federal contracts. They'd like to see that area probably shored up a little bit, but I'm in agreement with you that the two things that you've mentioned, my question is on the third one, the Section 12B. Did I hear you say that that's also would be striking or not?
I requested that the terms crimes committed and sexual abuse be stricken from the
Okay, just
contract.
That part. Just,
yeah, just
okay.
Those two terms, and that's not something that is available at this time. They're not willing to do that. And I did tell Ms. Arthur that if they could produce a policy that would cover that I could review, I'd be willing to reevaluate my opinion about that at a later date.
And I would, may I
respond? Yeah, absolutely.
The reason of not striking the comments regarding the liability is the fact that it is required within the Workforce Investment Act. It's defined in Title I, Chapter 2, Section 117, that specific language talking about liable, the chief elected official is liable for any misuse of grant funds allocated. So that's the reason that the language is within the document is in the fact that it's in the federal legislation, and it's also continued in the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. So,
and that for me takes care of 6B. I mean, clearly it's even though we don't like it, it's part of the federal legislation. It makes sense mm-hmm. why it's in there. It does look to me, Angie, like this 2080 is really, really broad and all-encompassing mm-hmm. in terms of liability to the counties mm-hmm. For any number of issues. One of the concerns I have is like Jessica, are you aware if there is insurance that would cover crimes committed?
Well, in crimes committed for the aspect of it is a little bit general in that comment, but for example, with DMACC being our fiscal agent, that their coverage covers any for the Central Iowa Workforce Investment Board covers the. What I want to make sure that I'm for employee theft. So, I mean, that type of coverage is available. I sent out this information to our insurance carrier, and there's a couple follow-up questions more about the automobile coverage because we don't have an automobile owner at this time. So that was more a question there. But in general, the basic coverage is there, and I can't tell you off the top of my head that specific language there. But we have the basic coverage within the directors and officers insurance and the general liability coverage. We have workers' compensation coverage. We have within that coverage, and I think this might go to that concept of sexual abuse, so there's sexual harassment coverage within the employer coverage that we have. So we do have those coverages in place at this point.
Yeah, and that's probably what I was referring to. Of all the other boards and commissions that I've ever been associated with, that has been covered by whoever the organization or agency that primarily is responsible for the oversight, and it has not fallen back on the representatives from the member counties.
Yeah. Right. And that does make sense. And I think from the aspect of the insurance coverage, our conversations within the executive committee was that when the CEO board comes on and there's additional insurance coverage, that would be covered through the Central Iowa Workforce Investment Board. It would be added on as another board within our policy.
Okay. And Angie, just so that I'm clear, all right, so we've got dollars coming as part of the Workforce Investment Act.
Mm-hmm.
Comes into this entity, and then it is utilized to provide the services.
Correct.
And I would imagine some of those are subcontracts with different entities.
We have two, yes.
Two different entities. Who oversees, first of all, who awards those? Is it the CEO elected official board, or is it that, I assume that's a different board, the advisor board that we have Pat Brown serving on?
Right. It's one of those things where the Central Iowa Workforce Investment Board makes that choice, and then the CEO board also would look at that to give approval as well. So, for example, the youth service provider that we have Children and Families of Iowa that provides those services. That goes out to RFP every 2 years. The youth service or the youth committee, youth workforce committee, goes through that process, makes that choice, and then moves forward with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, the adult provider for services is Iowa Employment Solutions at DMAC, and that organization provides those services. And that contract has been in place for 3 years, I think, or 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years, excuse me. So that's that process there.
So one of my other questions would be is the discussion that we're having here, would this be something conveyed to the other seven members as well, because, you know, as I look at it, everybody is expected to approve the 2080 agreement, and since we are asking to amend some of the documents that are basically there, it would appear to me that any action that we would take today should be contingent upon everybody having the same document, the same agreements that we would be voting on. And so I'm concerned a little bit about, while the concept of approving the 2080 agreements subject to ratification of all of the other seven members, so that we're all on the same page in terms of what we think our responsibilities and liabilities are. That's kind of where I'm at, wondering to take action to approve it, what are we actually approving? At this point, county by county, where there could be some differences, and yet there may be some other things that we will hear about from other member counties. And I don't know whether that's handled at the board level, where you can amend the 2080 after this board is all formed, which normally happens when you create a board, a governance board.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll let Angie follow up. My understanding is that the request is that the articles of agreement be approved as written without changes, and so we wouldn't be amending or ratifying the articles of agreement because there's not an agreement between the Workforce Investment Act Board and the county as to the changes. So we'd be, my understanding from my conversations with Ms. Arthur would be that they'll be going to each county with these articles of agreement in their original form and without the amendments that we've requested. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Everybody will be signing on or not signing on
right.
to the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
Right. We've had some boards that have already approved, have a county that's already approved. There's another county that voted 9 today, which right. I don't know the results right. since I'm here. Mm-hmm. But
who's approved this already?
Jasper County's Ashby. Approved it.
Okay.
Marion was voting on it earlier today.
Okay.
Have conversations going on with the other counties. Just kind of so it's just timing on some different things. If there would be if you would choose to approve it with changes or something along that line, it would have to go back to the other boards and go through their process as well. But we're requesting, obviously, that approve it as is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to have a problem approving it because if we do, it's going to be against the advice of our council. And I have concerns about the Section 12 language. The way it's worded, I don't know that you can go buy a insurance policy that's going to cover you against crimes committed. It doesn't say what crimes.
It is more general.
Right.
Sexual abuse.
Right.
Maybe sexual harassment is going to be covered, but
okay.
Yeah.
The way it's worded, I'm going to have a real problem approving it. I'm not certainly not saying that it's not a good concept and it's something that we'd be interested in, but the way the language is.
All right, so that's 12 for you where you're going to have trouble. Are you going to have trouble anywhere else? I mean, let's get this thing to the point that Angie's able to walk out of here with some direction from Story County of where we are.
Right.
So in my mind, I have lined through the words crime committed on 12B, crimes committed, and sexual abuse on 12B. Is there anywhere else? The other two concerns that Jessica had were 6B
right.
and 8. And so let's just talk these through, because I think what is completely reasonable is to have Angie leave here today with either no, Story County doesn't want to be part of it, yes, Story County wants to be part of it, or yes, Story County would like to be part of it if we can address these areas. One of those three, I think, needs to happen.
Well, I agree with you, and I appreciate you clarifying it from that standpoint. Again, it comes right back to the last statement that Paul had said, that from our civil attorney's point of view, those are very problematic, the concept of the liability. And I think it needs to be clearly clarified from the standpoint of what we would be getting ourselves into if we approved it with the current language as is. While I agree with that, I think the concept is good. I think Story County should be a player in this workforce consortium. But I certainly like to feel that, you know, areas like this are clear for all of us to know how to move forward. I know that quite often when you start something out, unless you as an entity, once the board all gets together, cannot amend some of the agreements, you're stuck. And I guess while I would like to believe that we could support this, provided that these amendments could be brought forth to the other members for our up or down vote, and then we could get back together, whether it's via conference call or via some other measure, I don't know. But I, as it stands right now, I just could not say affirmative thumbs up without these things being discussed by the other members.
Right, but where I'd like, and I'm with you, Wayne, but where I'd like us to get is, where can we get to the point that it's a thumbs up for you if the other members agree to that? And then, like you say, then the conversation's got to go to them and then ultimately come back to us. And like I say, I've got crimes committed
right.
and sexual abuse, both with a line through.
Mm-hmm.
So if we went, I apologize.
Yeah.
So we went more with employee theft or sexual harassment. Those would be more applicable to the language.
More clarification.
More clarification.
Just so we know where we are. Jessica, I'd like you, if you wouldn't mind, to talk me through a little more your thinking on the liability of misuse of funds. So as I understand it, this is an entity that, if formed, the CEO board will have the ultimate authority for not only determining how these funds are going to be used, but monitoring how they're used. Who else would be responsible other than that 28E board, that board and its members?
Well, so the 28E board, the entity itself versus the member counties could be responsible, which would alleviate a lot of my concerns. And contracting specifically for the county to cover misuse of funds for an entity that involves more than the county is my concern, because there are going to be a lot of things happening and events happening that we won't be able to monitor like we would if it was Story County. So the entity itself could be responsible versus the member counties, which is what I would prefer if I had, you know, my wish. But I think, and Ms. Arthur's point to me has been that there have been steps put in place since the last organization, CTEC, that would minimize some of the risk that we saw distributed with CTEC. And so I think that's really the question, is has what's been put in place minimize the risk such that this is something that the board thinks is a good thing for the county to enter into it, maybe.
So under Section 6, am I correct in assuming that if this committee or this 2080 board subcontracts with somebody else and they have problems, that this board is ultimately responsible for anybody that they contract with?
Section 8. That's my concern with Section 8.
So any misdoing by a subcontractor.
Local subrecipient. So that it's a really broad liability. I think my advice would be that we really pare that down. So what local subrecipients, for what purposes, and exactly what? Because we're saying any agreements that this board has with local subrecipients, we cover the liability for. And it's just really broad, and I like specific narrow language when we're talking, especially when we're talking about liability.
But in subrecipient, in the language here, are those youth or those service providers. So at this point we have two subrecipients, which are the youth service provider and the adult and dislocated service providers. So it probably feels more general, but within the workforce language, subrecipient is that reflection of those service providers.
But are they a 501(c) entity, those two providers, which then would be subject to having a certain level of liability and on their own?
Yeah.
Or are they being an arm of the state, of a state agency?
No, they are their own independent organizations.
Right.
And so, for example, CFI, I believe that is a 501(c)(3).
Right.
And, for example, we could, within the language, the contract, the process is a little bit different than the fact that Iowa Workforce Development holds the contract on our behalf. And so they do that contracting in there. And so they have control of that contracting language. We could have that conversation about hold harmless. And I know that DMAC as an organization has agreed to put some kind of hold harmless language in there, and that's not a concern for them.
Yeah, I mean, see, that really, really helps us. Right. Every step we can remove the individual counties is a huge asset. I'd like to see some of that worked into this.
Maybe we could define subrecipient and specify, because I think it's one thing to know which subrecipients and what they have in place and if they've agreed to hold counties harmless, and then in the future will subrecipients be added, and I just think we want to get real specific.
But we could get specific there, Jessica, couldn't we, by saying all subrecipients will have the hold harmless language
we'll
in
have
it.
A con- yeah, and we can agree.
And that includes
that
the ones we have now and any we might have in the future, and that just become part of.
Yes, I like that. Yeah, I like that idea. Just a lot of, I mean, a lot of things to talk through.
And I think that's what we should do, because everybody knows what happened with the former group that this organization grew out of. And I think we would be selling ourselves short if we signed an agreement that we had questions about, and down the road something happened. And people would say, well, you didn't learn anything the last time, and you ran right in. And
well, not only did you not learn anything last time, now you signed an agreement
that
says
you're responsible.
Because now the hard feeling, now Wayne, help, since Paul and I weren't on the board,
right,
with the whole CTEC thing, Story County was the only member county who backed out of the agreement, who got out of the agreement prior to all the financial. I mean, every other county that was involved had a major financial hit, right? And Story County did not, because I sense that there's still some hard feelings from a few from these other counties that Story County wasn't part of that. And it looks to me like you guys did exactly what the Board of Supervisors is supposed to do under advice of the county attorney, which is protect Story County.
Right.
It seems to me that if we don't at least have the conversation and be completely upfront with not only the board but also the other counties of where Story County is in this, and then live with that agreement, we'd be making a real mistake. But is that how it happened with you guys?
Yes, exactly. There's no question about it. And I do know that there were a few that were concerned about when it was asked that each county was to kick in X number of dollars. And, you know, we said no. But, yeah, I'm with you 100%. I like the structure of being proposed, and I like what this could do, particularly in terms of reaching a segment of a population that could assist in job creation. But I just want to make sure that from the standpoint of the counties that we are not obligating ourselves to potential liability that should not be part of the equation.
Okay. Jessica, is 6B and 8, are they basically the same thing? Are they just restating the same thing?
Well, I think 6B speaks exactly to what happened in the prior CTEC. To me, that speaks to us contractually agreeing to cover.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
misuse
you're right.
of what
right.
happened. So to me, right. that's fairly specific, that we would agree that if the CTEC issue happened again, for example, that we would contribute like we refused to last time.
Right.
And then to me, 8 is a broader liability section that really focuses on these sub-recipient agreements and us covering any liability that would arise out of that. So I see them as different. And one of the things I don't know if the investment board would be open to talking to us about as far as 6B is concerned, you know, Angie and I didn't get anywhere on it, but I don't know if anyone else would be open to talking with us or further discussions about, you know, under the federal act, what is acceptance of liability? My take would be that we don't need to contractually agree to it. I mean, is getting an insurance policy as a 2080 entity enough to satisfy that requirement? Which I think a good argument can be made that it would.
The Act says specifically that the workforce board will accept
right.
liability
right.
for the misuse of funds.
Right.
Is that right? Not necessarily that the member counties.
Yeah, the workforce board.
Yes, the chief elected official in the local area, as the local grant recipient, shall be liable for the misuse.
Okay, please restate that again for me.
It says the chief elected official in the local area shall serve as the local grant recipient for and shall be liable for any misuse of the grant funds allocated to the local area under sections 123 and 123.
But in this case, the chief local official is that CEO board.
Correct.
Yeah. That's what we would want versus what this says. And it also says, unless the chief elected official reaches an agreement with the governor, for the governor to act as the local grant recipient and bear such liability. So there's, and I don't know, that, and that may just not be you know.
Well, that's currently what the status is right now, is the governor is the chief elected official. However,
does meet federal. They're asking that that be.
That is more, you know, that has more of that state look. So we
absolutely
want to have that local focus, that local input.
And that's where the structure aspect makes the most sense. There's no question about it. So my question is, does it meet with the act, the language of the act, if the CEO board, this entity that would be created by the 28E, accepts responsibility for misuse, and then that board carries insurance to cover any of that? But it seems to me it doesn't have to go all the way down to the county level in order for that,
right,
that provision of the act to be met.
And I think you're on the same path, but this is part of some of the discussion, Jessica, that we've been having with our regional mental health boards and so forth in terms of liability and things of that nature, everything from HIPAA compliance and many of these other types of things. And there has to be, once you create a new entity, you know, then that entity should be, you know, charged with that rather than each individual member county that may be serving on that particular board. But even though the funds that are generated within that, you've got to have an insurance carrier, a coverage to cover that, so that if something did happen, individual counties are not asked to put forth additional dollars. And so I think I see this as a very similar situation for that board to have this particular insurance coverage. And I would have no problem with that, because I think that's pretty typical.
Yeah, because 28Es can be set up to establish a legal entity of its own as a 28E or not. You can do it either way. Either way is legal. And so obviously if you establish your own entity and that entity gets insurance instead of the member counties, that from my perspective helps alleviate the concerns I have for Story County in this situation.
So let me just see if I can be clear on what we want. We want Story County wants we want to be part of this agreement. We want, right, to be part of workforce development, right, the local CEO board. But we want to see an agreement that creates an entity within the 28E.
And this one does not, to
that,
be clear.
Okay.
Yeah.
That fulfills the requirements of the Workforce Investment Act, but does not pass on liability to the member counties of the 28E. And it sounds to me like that's doable. And it should be what the other counties want.
And I'm agreeing with you, mm-hmm, wholeheartedly, but I also know quite often how these things come before boards of supervisors. And this level of scrutiny and so forth has not clearly been done. And if all eight counties were sitting in a conference call and giving input and so forth, or if this information was presented in such a way that we could take back suggestions from each member county and then it was voted upon, and then a final document was presented that everybody could feel comfortable about, then I think that would be the more proper, appropriate form. I just have difficulty approving something based on the language that is currently in there with the supposition that we will work to try to amend that.
I don't know that that's possible.
I don't
know once the board's formed if they're going to be allowed to change the agreement. So
I think it.
Well, it should be.
Agreement that.
I'd be careful about doing that, and I think my opinion from my discussion with Ms. Arthur is that right now that they're not willing to strike these sections. So I haven't been given any assurance that at a later date they would be. So maybe now is the best time for us to get together and talk about our concerns and if there's anything we can do. Can we make this a legal entity, a 28E that does establish a legal entity, so that legal entity can get its own insurance and satisfy the federal legislation? And do we agree? Do they agree with us that that would, in fact, do that, so that Story County isn't on the hook if we find ourselves, you know, financially on the hook if we find ourselves in past situations that have been undesirable for counties? And you're right that in the past we were able to not pay out with misuse of funds in Story County, which was a benefit to the residents of our county. And so I just say that.
Right. Absolutely. But you can sure understand if I was one of the supervisors on one of those other counties, you wouldn't be happy about that. Right? Because you were in an agreement.
Right. But maybe you should have spent a little bit more time on the front end.
But that's what we're trying to get done here. We want to be, as I see it, we want to be partners with these other seven counties. We just want to make sure that we all go into it understanding the exact same things and that everybody understands where Story County is before we get started on this. And, Angie, I think we'll look to you and we'll say, I don't know what the next step is here. I mean, it seems to me you got a couple choices. You can either leave here and say, no, Story County is not comfortable with the agreement as it's written. Let's go get the other seven counties, and then whatever that means for Story County, or move on. Or you can leave here and say, okay, Story County's asked for a couple changes. Jasper's already approved it, so we have to go back to them. But everybody else, depending on what Marion did today, everybody else is still talking about it. So maybe there's an opportunity for us to all get together and come up with a document that meets the provisions in the Act, but is still acceptable to everybody, Story County included.
Sure. I do think that's an opportunity that we can pursue. I think what we've done is followed the format that's been used in the rest of the state of Iowa, what we've gone forward and moved forward to. So what I will do is take your comments, questions, concerns back to our executive board and have those conversations and see what next steps might be within that, and we'll move forward from there.
Right. Who is the executive board? Is that...
That is Noreen Moskoff with HCI Care Services is our board chair. We have our treasurer is Jeff Roman, who's a CPA, Roman Group. We have our youth service, our youth council, which is Lynn Pickard with Labor's, and Paula Martinez, who is our secretary, and she is with AFSCME. Those are those individuals we have on our executive committee.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, and we'd be happy, and Jessica, I don't mean to offer for you, but we'd be happy to come down and sit and visit with that group at any time and share what our concerns are and our rationale behind them.
We'd be happy to do that anytime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
So we just won't take any action on this.
That would be my suggestion, is no action. Yeah. We're asking you for more clarification,
right,
Angie.
And then you can come back.
That's
right.
Fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Very
happy
good.
To do so.
You bet.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next, consideration of boards and commissions members manual. Leanne Harder.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Believe it or not, I do not have a PowerPoint presentation.
Wow.
What was on your agenda for today in this particular item is... another item that was placed in my work program. It is simply a handbook. It's called Handbook for Boards and Commission Members. It's meant to be a very simple document that Story County, and specifically the Board of Supervisors, can share with our boards and commission members. It just begins with a welcome message at the front, where if it's approved, all three of you would sign. And then the introduction. On the third page, which mine is missing page numbering, so I do have to add that, it lists the boards and commissions. There are a lot more that you provide liaisons to or representatives on, but these are those that you officially appoint to serve as an arm of Story County government. The introduction goes over the role of boards and commissions. Next page is our flow chart, organizational chart of Story County. And then I thought it'd be helpful to have, even though they're already a board member, just understand the eligibility requirements. Mm-hmm. And then also help them understand that this applies while they reside in Story County. If they leave the county, they need to notify whomever the chair is that they are no longer a resident of Story County. And then the next page is the classification of boards, advisory boards and commissions. Of the various boards and commissions, we have some that act in quasi-judicial role, such as the Board of Adjustment. Their actions that the Board of Adjustment take do not get appealed to you. They go right to district court. But then there are others. They're, for example, of Veterans Affairs. If there's an appeal, it comes to you all as a final decision maker. And there are some boards that just act in a recommending matter on a recommending matters, such as the Planning and Zoning Commission. There are some unique boards and commissions, like the Board of Health and the Conservation Board, where they make their own policy decisions and personnel decisions, but you do control the final budgeting and allocation of funding. And like even the Board of Health, if they have an ordinance, that policy decision does ultimately rest with the Board of Supervisors. And then the next page is, the next two pages talk about Iowa open meetings laws. And then ending with just a simple snapshot on how to effectively get the public to participate, some tips and tricks on that. And then holding productive meetings is the next section. And then finally wrapping up with a reminder that as boards and commission members, the easiest way for them to be aware of what's happening is to sign up for Notify Me through our website, and those directions are included. So if it's approved, one thing, it would be both in digital format as well as hard copy format. The digital format will be a more fun document because the links will be live, like to Iowa Public Information Boards, the Open Meetings Handbook. There's a live link we'll be able to create to that. And then to our different web, like the Notify Me and that such. If it is approved, I would suggest it get sent out to all current and then newly appointed board and commission members. So this first go-around would be a rather large mailing. And then also email as well. So they have it both in digital and hard copy. And then from there on, after any new appointments, we'd get it. And I think that's all I have. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Well, the question about the mailing, why not make this available, copies to each of the chairs of each of those boards, and they would be responsible for getting it in the hands of their commission members?
We could do that, too. That's an option.
Just hand it out at the meeting.
Yes, yeah. Right.
That's
I mean, I'm trying to look at saving
a
little,
point.
The only one that wouldn't be really applicable would be the Condemnation Committee.
Right.
Commission, because they don't meet when they're called by the district
and
court.
And
so.
The reason I didn't suggest emailing just everyone a blanket email, we don't, to be frank, don't have email addresses for everyone, specifically the Condemnation Commission.
Right.
There may be some hand-picking of commission. I think that would probably be the only one we'd have to hand out. But I would be glad to make copies and send them to whomever the chair is, or like for Planning and Zoning Commission, Board of Adjustment,
right,
to Planning and Development, and so forth.
Good.
That's a good suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's good work.
Oh,
I appreciate
work.
You putting
it's
it together.
Excellent.
It's another step we're taking in the right direction, and I would move approval of the Boards and Commission Member Manual and along with that approval directly and to get it to the chairs of each of these boards for distribution, and where that's not applicable, get it sent to the individual members.
All right. Second motion.
Mm-hmm. We've got a motion and a second to approve the Boards and Commission's handbook. Is there anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. That's been approved. Thanks, Leanne. Next is IT Departmental Report. Barb Steinbeck.
Come on down, Miss Barbara.
Hi, Barb.
Morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Well, I'm here to report all the good things that IT has been doing. And I guess that depends on what side of the fence you're standing on. Some people don't like the new things IT's been doing, but change is difficult for everyone. So I will open with a status report on the VoIP phone implementation. We finished the Sheriff's Department last month, and that was the one we were dreading the most. It went very smoothly. Now, I don't know if it's because we've been doing this for a while or if we knew what questions to ask now or if they just... And we had the usual tweaks and, can I do this or how about if I do that kind of thing. But overall, it went very well. I was a little concerned how communications would go with the, the 911 calls coming in and routing out to the sheriff's main line. It went very well, very smoothly. We did have one sticking point that took a couple days to figure out. with the Nevada Police Department, how that rolled through the system, but it just turns out that Raycom had to change out one of their cards because of the way that phone line was configured when it was originally sent out. But other than that, it's gone wonderfully. So I'm happy to say that all the departments except Animal Control are now on the VoIP system, and I'm not sure where we're going to proceed with Animal Control. It really doesn't make financial sense to put them on the VoIP system with one phone number. And I'll have that discussion with Sue. She keeps asking, and plus the building is not owned, so, and we don't own the connection either, so that makes it a little different than the other rollouts. We still have to deal with the two call centers, the EOC and the Amber Alert. Amber Alert, I think we're in agreement how we want to proceed with that. The EOC call center, we're trying to make it as cost-effective as possible. However, the way they want the calls to come in requires an auto attendant, and that's the cost they're having trouble swallowing. So,
would you explain what is an auto attendant in layman's terms?
An auto attendant, and I don't know if I'm – is this close enough? An auto attendant is when, for instance, you call a number and then you get a menu. Press 1 for this, press 2 for that. And in their instance, it would be press 1 for fire, press 2 for water or flood or whatever. So it's a specific number attached to a specific request from the caller. And whereas with the Amber Alert call center, it's just round robin. The calls come in and they go to the first person who's not on the phone. So their setup will be very simple once we get their main number routed. With emergency management, it will be a little difficult. So, and then they also want to be able to transfer, flood might want to transfer to fire. So their setup is a little more complicated, although LightEdge has agreed to work with us on these two call centers, and they're making the licensing available at a third of the regular price just to cover their costs. So they are working with us, and I'm happy with what they've tried to do. So I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, so I guess that was one of my main questions, is because when I call to do an online payment for, you know, a credit card or some other types of things, you know, you either 1, 2, 3, or 4. And right. So my question would be is this a tremendous cost to have those options for the EOC call center? And who actually would be responsible for covering that cost? Is that all a part of our contractual agreement if we would move in that direction? But currently, right now, that's not available. So what do they do as far as receiving incoming calls to communicate with whomever they're trying to communicate with?
Right now, the system works as it always has worked. We have not removed any black box equipment.
Okay.
I don't want to remove anything until
right.
we're sure that everything works fine.
Right.
So as of now, they can continue, and we have looked into maybe keeping that system as part of to round out our disaster recovery even more. Mm-hmm. You know, if our system went down, they would be on a separate system. However, the costs are just prohibitive. Black Box shot me back an estimate of $1,900 a month.
Ooh.
Just to keep that call center alive. And if we wanted to do something different, that would involve changing out a lot of equipment, which doesn't make financial sense. When right now, I believe the implementation, the installation configuration for that system would be a one-time charge of $75, and then they would have a $36 monthly charge.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I did purchase the phones themselves from the from my general fund budget. So, it's when you look at what you receive for the cost, I think it makes sense.
Okay. And, Rick, is this something you serve as chair of the Emergency Management Commission? Is this something that you guys are looking at for the future communication needs? Or
Right now, Keith's trying to set up that Emergency Operations Center in the way that he thinks it would work best. And at the end of the day, the commission's going to have to make a budgetary decision on what we spend and how we administer that thing as to whether you go to the Amber alert system where a call comes in and whoever's not on the phone, it would ring to them even if it's not their specific area. So it could go to roads when really we're looking for planning, something like that. And so Keith's trying to work through that and figure out exactly how to make it work.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Here's a topic I'd like to discuss that I'm sure has been on all of your minds lately is the audio installation for the boardroom here. We're working with AVI Systems in Des Moines, and they are very busy. We had a December 10th date for installation, and guess what? We have the holiday dinner and another meeting that morning, so I've asked for the next available opening. They're booked up through January. And they did come in and make some configuration changes, and Shelley said you don't see a lot of difference. They thought there was some improvement. They saw a lot of opportunity to make some improvements, but obviously it's on the end that we don't see. So I got a phone call from them this morning, and they want to revisit. Originally, we had decided just to upgrade the current installation. They feel there might be too much manual input required for that, and so they want to discuss maybe a new system. It's still within the $5,000 budget range that they originally quoted us, so it's not astronomical. I guess I'd be open to their suggestions. They have a new engineer there, and he's got some new ideas. As long as we still can't get on their schedule for a while, I think it's worth talking to them.
Well, we've waited 4 years.
Yes.
We're going to do it. Let's make sure we do it right. So.
And it's like anything else. The longer you wait, the more new stuff comes along. So.
Okay.
I also wanted to talk a little bit about a new option that we're implementing for web filtering here at the county. We used to have WebSense. It wasn't, in my opinion, it wasn't the best solution for us. We've since purchased a piece of hardware, a Barracuda web filter, which works in conjunction with our Barracuda email filter. And what this will do, and what I'm hoping it'll do, oftentimes we get requests from managers wanting, can I see the internet activity on so-and-so? The reports that WebSense would give to us absolutely made no sense and would be very difficult for the manager to actually see what sites their people went to. For instance, if you bring up a Yahoo page, everything you see on that page has a marker, and it is sending out information that you're on that page. Well, even if it's an advertisement or an article, it looks as if the user was browsing to those areas. So what the Barracuda web filter will do, and I had sent an email out to the ICIT group just asking their opinion on what they like. And I have worked with this in the past, and I liked it. But hands down, everyone agreed that that is a good solution. So we've purchased that. We're in the process this week of getting that implemented. And then I'll offer to the managers, hey, you know, we've got better reporting now. If this is something you're interested in, just send an email, and we'll get you reports. So. We're also working on phase two of our rerouting of the fiber connection in Ames. And I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but the connection from here to CLP, to City Hall, to wherever our fiber goes, kind of left us in a vulnerability if things change with CLP. So what we're doing is we're rerouting it so it goes straight from here to HSC, has a side chute to CLP, and then goes to City Hall. So if we need to remove our connection to CLP, it won't be as there won't be a lot of outage involved. So we're kind of trying to plan ahead on that. Sometimes that's hard to do with IT. Also, we're working on a joint project with Story Medical. We're just in the discussion phase right now. When it actually comes time to come to the board, I'll bring diagrams and everything, so this is just kind of a heads up. But Story Medical approached us with an idea for some fiber, hoping that we would also want the need for redundancy. When the new hospital was built, it was thought that the North Campus would go away, and since then they've grown so much that the North Campus has been expanding too. So they need a better connection. And looking at what we have, we do have a vulnerability. Our connection to the Justice Center goes through by the middle school. And I don't know if any of you are aware, and I wasn't aware, but that connection has been cut twice by gas companies. So this would provide phase one of another redundant route to the Justice Center. And once this is in place, we would be able to take everything off of that current microwave connection with the tower that blessedly is silent now and route it through there. Phase one would involve doing a connection from this building down to the North Campus of Story Medical and then over across, I believe it's G Avenue. But I'll bring more diagrams and stuff later. And the reason this is appealing to me is it's an opportunity for the county to make a little money and to pay back the cost. It may be around $25,000 for the trenching for this project, but if we do an agreement with Story Medical where we lease 12 strands of fiber back to them, we could recoup our cost in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then set ourselves up to do phase two of the project, which would encompass going across the railroad tracks to get to 30, to get to the Justice Center. And that would be a lot more costly. And it would also give us a chance to maybe look at other alternatives. As I've noticed in IT, you wait a little while, something new comes along and a better way to do things. So we have several quotes. We just haven't started on our agreement yet. But just a heads up of what we're talking about. Now, originally, Story had approached the ICN to see if this was a project that they could fund for them. And I did meet with the ICN also. However, if they fund the project, due to the way our government runs, we can't participate. So if we head it up, because we don't have the same funding that Story Medical does, and if we head it up, then we can also, there's an opportunity maybe to lease some of those fibers back to the ICN as well. If they head it up, we cannot participate in the project. So trying to keep an eye on the future and what might be best for us. And as our needs keep increasing, I want to make sure that we don't close any doors.
Barb, do we lease any of our current fiber strands to anybody?
To someone?
Yep.
Yes, we have an agreement with the ICN, and we lease 18 strands to them right now.
Okay.
Also, as part of the IP phone implementation, I'm looking at, we're evaluating all of our circuits because we had a lot of PRI circuits, which was phone traffic only. We've managed to eliminate the circuit that went to McFarland Park, which is about a $305 monthly fee, minimal, but it all adds up. So we've canceled that one. We've got four more circuits through CenturyLink that we think we can cancel in the next several months. Any circuits that we have with Windstream are a different story, simply because CenturyLink doesn't require contracts. It's basically an agreement. They do a two-year, three-year agreement, and then if you decide to end it before then, there's no repercussion. With Windstream, they hold you to that, and they require 60 to 90 days previous to cancel. So we still have that 20-meg link between us and the Justice Center that is a Windstream link that is going for another year. It's $1,300 a month, so that's an ouch. But we still use it. But with the Central Iowa Broadband Fiber, we don't need it. So once that contract is up, it's going away. And it's really, it's sad because 2 years ago, that was the only thing available in Nevada to increase our connection. I can't do a report without talking about Tyler. And it looks like we are making some progress. Solutions has been able to, the whole sticking point was the stamps and annotations. They were having trouble converting them. Tyler looked at stamps and annotations as a picture, whereas as it sits in an IBM system, it's a reference to a line. So it looks good there. So maybe this thing will come to a close this year. After that, once they get this done, we should be fine. We should be able to be using their content management product. Other topics I just wanted to touch on briefly. We have entered into an MOU with the city as their DR, and I believe that was last budget that was approved, or I'm sorry, last board meeting it was approved. And so the city was here, and they installed some hardware. That'll bring in a little monthly income to IT. I'm always looking for ways for IT to make money since it's hard to see what we contribute, but that seems to be working well. It doesn't have any drain at all on our any of our network connections, so it's going to be good for both of us. Also, network administrator position is open in case anyone is interested, and that's all I have.
Applications?
I got two applications, and that was it.
Okay.
And neither are well qualified.
That hasn't been. You've talked to Alyssa about maybe putting that on CareerFinder.
Yes, and I do have money budgeted this year for that. So.
Okay. All right.
Any questions?
No. Excellent report. Keep up the good work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks, Barb.
You're welcome.
Liaison assignment and a committee meeting update.
Pass on the liaison assignment. Deb had a commitment down at ISAC, and so we're going to follow up later this week on just getting together.
Okay. Rick?
Two things real quick. One, I think we're at a point where we have a final schematic version of safety renovations to the Justice Center that would include new office space for the county attorney, so be looking for that. That'll come to us as part of our budget conversation. And the second one is I continue to analyze the structure of the staff that reports through the Board of Supervisors, and actually have a meeting scheduled with Alyssa and Deb Shildroth tomorrow to kind of talk about that further, and I didn't want you to be surprised when you see something along those lines coming from me.
Very good. I'll pass. Public forum number two, comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but may do so in the future. Not see anybody moving towards the mic. Announcements from the supervisors. Wayne.
Pass.
Pass.
Sorry, I was caught off guard. Wayne passed on both the liaison and the announcements. That kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Move adjournment.
Second.
Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.
Usually I have time.